Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, partiers? What kind of night is it?
What? Woo! What?
Tell me what they're doing.
What?
Brother.
What?
Ooh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fuzz and Travis Show. Let this be a sign.com, facebook.com/Fuzz and Travis. That's three Z's. It is great to be here with you tonight. For the second night in a row, we're going to fulfill your Fuzz and Travis needs, all the fat heads out there in the fat head universe. Fuzz, how you doing tonight?
I am doing just to... Does that satisfy your Fuzz and Travis needs for the night?
I really like it. I like it. I love it.
Thank you.
I want some more of it.
Whoa, easy now. Easy now.
Well, we're kind of talking about the 90s tonight, so I thought some
it's true.
Little Timmy McGraw might help get us in the mode.
Kicking off what's going to be an interesting ride here over the next couple of years, I guess.
Yeah, next couple of years. Especially the next few months, at least. The Fuzz and Travis Show is broadening its horizon or simplifying down, however you like to look at it.
Maybe a little column A, a little column B.
You know, that's how I like to go about it. Let's just hit all the bases, touch home, and go home. So, yeah. We're looking to expand the Fathead universe. You know, it kind of makes sense as Raw and SmackDown get ready to kind of have a brand split. We thought here at the Fuzz and Travis Show, we might do the same. We might give you hopefully something that would help us give you a little more Fuzz and Travis on a regular basis, because you know we're both entrepreneurs. We both have different things going on, and sometimes, as you can tell, we have time where we have a limited amount of time to get things in, and so this gives us an opportunity. Fuzz, you want to tell them what we're going to be doing?
Yeah, we will be talking about one of our favorite things, and that is
a moment of pure man passion.
What?
A moment of pure man passion.
Really?
Yeah.
Which could also be defined as...
We're going to be talking about the Monday Night Wars, wrestling's probably biggest era ever.
Yeah.
We are going to start reviewing... Now, I know there's been other podcasts that have been reviewing this, and...
Frankly, they're not us. Buzz, for some reason, we've lost your audio. I don't know what's going on. Buzz, are you there? Buzz? Contacting Buzz. We cannot hear you. It's almost like somebody's trying to take over the podcast. Buzz, what happened? What Fuzz was going to tell you is that
he's going to puke.
I hope he's not puking, but what we're talking about is we're going to be talking about 20 years ago, something that went down 20 years ago this week, or actually the end of last week. That is the Monday Night Wars, kicked off by none other than Scott Hall. Showing up at Monday Nitro on May 27th, 1996.
I'm back.
And he's back.
Yeah.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
My bad.
All right. It's quite okay.
Apparently, The Wi-Fi wasn't wanting to cooperate. Knocked me off. So now I'm on LTE. We should be good to go. I got Puppy Man here with me hanging out, riding shotgun.
Bondo.
Bondo the Wonder Dog, as we like to call around here.
Coming live from the Fuzz and Travis Studios Thunderground, which means we're in the same house tonight.
Indeed.
Thanks to the United States Postal Service.
You know, I was going to go home today, but apparently God didn't want that for me or something. I don't know. But yeah, we're talking about the Monday Night Wars, and like we said, other podcasts have done it, are doing it, whatnot, but we're doing it 20 years. So 20 years to the week. So I guess we'll have to do another one this week. Is that right?
We can. But, you know, it's our podcast. We can do it however we want. Technically, it was 20 years ago Friday, I believe, that Scott Hall showed up in his denim, which we'll get to and talk about in just a moment. I think we're going to cover Raw first tonight. But basically, it's going to be a new podcast. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. I don't know if we'll stay at blogtalkradio.com/TheFuzzAndTravisShow, or we'll start a whole new one. In fact, we may let you decide for us. But we are looking for some names for the podcast, and we may put some of that up there, let you guys vote on which one you like best. And, you know, in typical Fuzz and Travis Show status, we might just overrule you, so whatever. Our names are still on the marquee for at least one more night. But nonetheless,
we're
talking about
the
crazy
Fuzz and Travis Show podcast, though, will continue in its normal fashion. But this will be a separate and apart from the Lord's Supper podcast.
Yes.
So, which,
there you go.
If anybody wants to use that for their religious podcast, I think it's a great separate and apart from the Lord's Supper podcast.
That would work. That would work. And for all of you All-Star Wrestling people out there listening, this is not going to be a podcast about you, although we did call it the Hostile Takeover tonight. And, you know, we're not planning on taking over your show, although we have multiple times in the past.
And whenever we feel necessary, we will.
Yes. So,
just saying.
Although, I guess technically we should have some of you guys on the Monday Night War podcast, because you're still doing some of the same gimmicks 20 years ago.
Yeah, no kidding. Jabroni.
Anyways, it's good to be here. And
it is good to be here.
You're going to get the first episode tonight, the Hostile Takeover 1996 edition. Both these shows, as we start with Raw, occurred on May 27th, 1996, as we've already mentioned. And we're going to start with Raw. This is the night after In Your House, Beware of Dog. In fact, there was some lightning and storms that came through and knocked out the power for the pay-per-view. And they ended up having to show the rest of the pay-per-view on Tuesday night, which will really throw you off if you watch it on the WWE Network. But nonetheless, In Your House, Beware of Dog featured a great strap match between Stone Cold Steve Austin, representing the Million Dollar Man, and Savio Vega.
Savio Vega.
Which is one of the farthest back, oldest memories of Stone Cold Steve Austin that I have. I remember the strap match.
Really?
Yeah. 1996, let's see, that would put me, that's been 20 years ago, I was 15 years old when all this went down.
Wow.
Which means, Fuzz, you were 9?
10.
10. Which means we should have very varying views on some of this stuff. Of course, we know a lot more than we did then. Now, obviously.
I wasn't watching
Japan. That'll be interesting.
I was not watching wrestling.
Oh. Probably a good thing.
I kind of came in late in the game. You know, really, my first full year of watching wrestling was 1998. So when we get to that stuff here 2 years from now, that's going to be the stuff where I'm going to have a lot of memories.
Yeah.
So, guys, we are a good year and a half away from me really contributing a lot to this.
No, that's not true.
But it should be fun because a lot of this will be the first time I've ever seen it. I'm familiar with it. I've seen some of it. So it's going to be really interesting. I'm really looking forward to this. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you a little bit of the setup for us. I don't know when it quite started. I don't know that at this time I was watching it regularly, but I do remember watching that pay-per-view and seeing that match. We would go to my Uncle Danny's, which you met at Memorial Day. You've met him before, but he's one of the official members of the Fuzz and Travis Show's cornhole team. And we'd go over there, and he would bring in a TV from his back bedroom, and then he also had a big screen. And we would watch simultaneously those shows.
That is awesome.
And he even had a TV in the bathroom, so if he went to the had to take a potty break, my dog immediately perks his head. You could go in there and watch it and not miss anything. So
see, you guys were
awesome
like
setup.
You guys were like having nitro parties at your uncle's house every Monday.
Pretty much, that was the rule.
Which pretty much just, once again solidifies the idea to me that I should have known you guys back in the day.
Oh yeah, it was a nitro party. And we watched the pay-per-views. Every pay-per-view we watched at Danny's house.
That's awesome. He bought them all?
Yeah.
Wow.
Either that or other ways. But nonetheless, we don't know.
A moment of pure man passion.
Is that the recording or is that actually Don? Because I think Don is on the air.
Daddy boy.
You know who I am. You don't know where I am. Oh, I don't know who this is.
Oh, man. Don, do you remember what was your favorite snack at Danny's house for some Monday Night War parties?
If I remember correctly, he always had like Creole seasoning or something, and he would make some popcorn, and then he'd put the seasoning on it. And it's very spicy, but it was delicious. It was a great combo.
Yeah.
I need to find out what he used so I can read
it. Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. I got you, brother. I got some now because I do the same thing to my popcorn to this very day. It's called...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Tony Chachers, the original Creole seasoning. No MSG.
Is it like a white bottle or a white canister or something?
It's red, or it's green, red writing.
Got it.
White nutrition facts.
Where's the beef?
White, the red top.
I can't believe I actually remembered what that was called.
Yeah, so we had that. And then I always had like a V8 or a Dr. Pepper. So I'm weird.
A V8.
That's the way it was. Yeah. Loved it.
It's awesome you still do that.
How about that?
Yeah.
Carrying on the traditions. Did Danny know you still do that? I think he'd be impressed or be flattered in some way.
Yeah, I actually put it on my fries. Like I can make fries. It's literally the only thing that I can make in the oven. And I put it on fries here at the house. It's underground.
I've never had like an actual V8.
Wow.
Classic.
You gotta
never
get
had a V8.
Sodium in it.
No, I've never had a V8. It just never appealed to me. It just looked like it would taste disgusting.
Huh. Well,
probably why I liked it. Because I'm a real man.
I mean, but you guys know me. I'm not one who's big on vegetables, although I did try asparagus tonight for the first time. And I'm a fan. I am a fan.
We'll be introducing
my list of favorite vegetables. This is
really?
Some rousing podcast talk, by the way.
Let me tell you.
Shut up!
This segment was so weird.
Yeah. Well, let's get to it. I do have some we'll be introducing different segments and things, obviously, on the new podcast. One of those things we've talked about doing is maybe doing since WWE in 1996 is getting geared up for King of the Ring, which obviously is going to have some amazing things happen that will bring out some Monday Night Wars pivotal King of the Ring that we're leading up to. We're thinking about maybe doing a King of the Ring of our own, letting Don Mateo pick a few wrestlers, Fuzz pick a few wrestlers, me pick a few wrestlers, maybe even some of the fatheads out there pick a few wrestlers, and each week we do a round on the show, on the new podcast. But we'll see. Different things going on. Would we like to start, Fuzz? You want me to introduce the matches, talk about who won, how they won, and then you can give your – or how would you want to do that?
We can do that. We can do that. That works.
All right.
You know, I got some light notes here. I know you got some notes yourself, and Don, chime in whenever you feel necessary.
All right. Well, as I was saying earlier, May 27th, this is a Monday night, obviously, Monday Night Wars, following In Your House, Beware of Dog. And let me just say, where did they get these names for In Your House?
Heck if I know.
The previous one was In Your House, Good Friends, Better Enemies, which we only heard 50,000 times, and that was a play on Shawn Michaels and Kevin Nash. Which I don't know that. Did we figure out, Fuzz, whether or not the curtain call has occurred yet? It had to have, right?
It was May 19th was the
yeah,
curtain
that's
call,
what I thought.
I think.
You've got this Nash losing to Michaels. Scott Hall loses his Intercontinental title to Vader.
Didn't he lose to Vader? No, he didn't lose the Intercontinental title to Vader. Goldust won the belt.
Won the belt and Vader.
You know,
okay.
I
anyway,
don't know. Don't matter.
Either way, the curtain call has occurred. The click, that would be Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H. Most of you probably know Madison Square Garden, Scott Hall, Kevin
all
Nash,
made out in the ring.
Way out, and they meet out in the ring, and they break pretty much all the rules of wrestling and bow out. And the next time we see Kevin and Scott Hall, next time we see Scott Hall will be when we start talking about Nitro. But what you got here on Raw, first match is Goldust with Terry Runnels versus an equally interesting character in the Ultimate
Marlena.
Warrior.
The Ultimate Warrior. And I'm going to have
to drop match
every time we mention the Ultimate Warrior because we've been doing it every time he comes out. We do the line from SNL. He's been down in the basement drinking coffee for about the last 8 hours.
Is that how the Ultimate Warrior hits the ring, man? Like, he's been sitting back there drowning himself in coffee with espresso shots and all that good stuff, and he hits the ring like a hurricane. And this is, no pun intended, no foreshadowing either. This is the first round matchup of the King of the Ring. So, yeah. Goldust is the Intercontinental
Champion. I can just imagine.
Champion, old white stripe belt. Go ahead, Don.
I can just imagine the production guy being back there saying, you know, hey, Warrior, you got to be more intense this time. I mean, more and more. He feels the pressure to be more and more intense.
And boy, was he. He hits the ring. Ultimate Warrior wins because Goldust just leaves. He just gets up and leaves, takes the belt. So Ultimate Warrior wins by a count out. So I just don't know. They're so weird, you know. Goldust, I've never been able to understand. Ultimate Warrior, I've never understood a promo he ever did. But, boy, when I was a kid, he fired me up.
Here's something weird that we both noticed during this match is McMahon is hyping up the King of the Ring tournament, which he says is going to be on the WWF Network.
Yeah.
Huh.
Still can't figure out what that was.
I don't understand. I've Googled it, nothing. Nothing comes up.
Yeah. I think it was just a keyword. It had to have been that he just didn't use the word universe. Like, he hadn't come up with that, WWE Universe, yet.
No, he said it's going to be on the WWF Network.
Oh, well, I know. I know what he said. I heard him. But I was just saying that must have been, like, sort of what he meant was the WWF Universe. But who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
WWE
if you know.
Is the fan base. You see what I'm saying?
If you know. Oh, I understand what you're saying.
Does anybody else
know, call on the fat line.
It's a hint at an ego that, like, I don't – maybe I'm wrong, but I don't recall anything else referring to itself as the universe. But it's like, what's the WWE universe? What are you talking about? You mean the business or the industry?
He likes those buzzwords, man. I don't know.
The WWF universe.
Oh, man. Well, let me tell you, if you choose to watch these Raws, you better just get ready for buzzwords because good grief. He gets on something, and it is.
It's the same thing today, though. The longest running weekly episodic television show in history, which A, it's not, and B, just shut up.
So he took
his cues
from
the
Barack Obama campaign, huh?
Yes. And
hope change.
And then throw in the fact that he loves saying Hunter Hearst Helmsley, like he can't even. He gets beside himself. Hunter Hearst Helmsley,
mm-hmm.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Hunter Hearst. I mean, the show is added 15 minutes because he says Hunter Hearst Helmsley every time. I can barely say it.
I joke when I say Triple H, so.
To be fair, he wasn't Triple H yet, but he could have just said Helmsley. But, we even talked about he would do that with Duke the Dumpster Drosy. He would either call him Duke the Dumpster Drosy, the full name, or sometimes he referred to him as the Trash Man.
Yeah,
I'm feeling lackadaisical. I'm gonna call it the Trash Man. I'm feeling furtive.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
Yeah. So you got Goldust and Ultimate Warrior. Now I want you to remember how Raw starts, because we're gonna here in a minute when we get to Nitro. I want you to just compare how Nitro starts to how Raw starts.
Mm-hmm.
We go from that into a
double count out. Yeah, double count out, and then Waller hit Warrior with Boneless Chair. And then Lawler runs away, and Warrior stands in the middle of the ring, busting up Boneless Chair.
Is there any other way to react after you hit the Ultimate Warrior with a chair other than running away? He probably
wakes up to
a chair being smashed across his face.
I don't know why he got involved. Like, why? I don't know. This is weird.
Yeah.
I barely just got through Undertaker and Goldust having a feud. I'm short.
Yeah.
Which you seem to enjoy that.
Oh, I thought you could get some mileage out of that.
Yeah.
Two really unique characters who are very different.
Absolutely. I mean, why not?
But one match, and then they're done. He's on the Ultimate Warrior.
Quite frankly,
or is he?
The idea that Undertaker probably shouldn't. Like, he was a one throwaway idea, but it lasted for so long. It's like Goldust was much the same, you know?
All right. So then we went to commercial after that, and we come back with Steve Austin talking to Ted DiBiase backstage.
And basically, Stone Cold standing there. He's not saying much. He's kind of staring at the Million Dollar Man. And then the Million Dollar Man, basically, I don't even remember what he says, something along the lines of, If Steve Austin loses, I will leave WWE or WWF. Man, I've been trained so well.
DiBiase blamed Savio Vega
for the power outage from last night. He said that that's why he won. Because who knows how many corners he even touched in that strap match. He said, listen, the rematch tomorrow night, because if Stone Cold wins, you're going to be my chauffeur. It's probably going to throw something in there. If Stone Cold loses, then I'll leave the WWF forever. So we got a little stipulation going on at In Your House. So it's going to be interesting to see that go down. So next we had the rousing tag team match of the Smoking Guns, who came out with Sonny, their new manager Sonny. They got the tag straps.
Yep. Tag
team. The Body Donnas get the rematch for the belt.
I'm kind of shocked because the Body Donnas, like, I have no recollection of the Body Donnas.
Mm-hmm.
But they're decent. They're not terrible.
Oh, they're really good. They were really good.
Yeah.
The gimmick was horrible, but they were really good.
And Sonny's trading out tag teams. Like, she was originally with the Body Donnas, and she helped the Bray's long-lost ancestors, relations.
Godwins.
I don't know what word I'm using. The Godwins. And the Godwins lose to the Smoking Guns, and now she's with them. And she comes out wearing a hat and dressed as though she's a member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. So,
yes. Freebird.
Tuesday's gone, sucker. So I don't know what's going on with Sonny other than, you know, she comes out to be eye candy and she keeps swapping teams. So.
Careful with your wording there.
Also, we get Harvey Whippleman shows up taking notes. Harvey Whippleman.
The trash man. No, Harvey Whippleman. Downtown Bruno for some of you guys. Hillbilly Jim joins Vince on commentary because the King hasn't come back yet. Bonnie Donnas get the rematch, and long story short, Billy Gunn gets the pin. Smoking Guns retain. Not much to say about this match other than, man, I always forget how tall Billy Gunn is. He's enormous.
He is a ginormous man.
I got to figure out how tall he is. He's got to be
apparently has a big behind as well.
All right, so Google says that he's 6'4".
What's awesome is a lot of these characters, we won't even be able to say their name later on when we get later in the podcast.
True.
As we slowly move out of the PG or the G era into the R-rated, into the PG. But anyways, that rolls. After that, we get the Sega Saturn. Don, you will enjoy this. The Sega Saturn Slam of the Week.
Slam of the Week.
Which is the botched ending to the Heartbreak Kid and Bulldog, British Bulldog Heavyweight Championship match, in which, as interesting as this, Vince McMahon says, is the most controversial WWF title match ever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just wait.
Yeah. That's funny.
Interestingly enough, that it involves HBK, you know. But HBK did a German suplex, and both shoulders are down on the mat. Two refs were there. They both count the pinfall. Who's the world champ? We don't know.
It makes me miss the days when a German suplex pin could actually finish a match.
Indeed.
Yeah. But it probably, you know, I don't know, maybe Vince said that and was like, you know what, this can't be the most controversial finish to the championship match. Let's see if I can help that one.
Yeah.
So,
it won't be long.
Here I go. No.
It won't be
main event time.
It's Kai. It's Beta.
By the way, you know, it's I suppose it speaks to how bad WWF was how bad it was then that they messed up Vader. I mean, WCW, like, it's like when WCW took Bret Hart, but they WWF got Vader. Vader was hot in WCW. I mean, look at the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Destroyer of worlds, you know, if there ever was a guy like that. And then just, you know, he's got to lay down to Shawn Michaels.
Funny you should mention Bret Hart. Bret Hart's not on the show, and he's somewhere in Germany sulking over what he calls a controversial end to the WrestleMania Iron Man match with heartbreak for
really?
Shawn Michaels. Anyways, the main event is Vader versus Ahmed Johnson with Owen Hart. I mean, let me tell you, at this point, Raw really loves special commentators. Owen Hart comes down and gives special commentary for the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Cornette comes and gets indeed involved. Cornette gets involved. He hits Ahmed Johnson with his racket. And Owens gets involved, of course. And jacks Ahmed in the head with his cast. Oddly enough, Ahmed's carted to the back and Goldust attempts to give him mouth-to-mouth. Ahmed goes crazy, as I would as well, attacks Buddy Holly. I'm not sure why he attacks Buddy Holly, but he does. And then he
Bob
runs
Holly.
Straight through a door. Oh, sorry, Bob Holly. Runs straight through a door. And then attacking
knocking over the guy who said, you can't go in the Goldust locker room. And just spears him right through the door, sees that Goldust isn't in there, and so he punches the cameraman and just walks off slowly. That was the end of Raw.
Raw.
So some stories that you guys need to be thinking about to the next podcast. Who's the world champion? I don't know. Where the heck is Goldust? He disappeared. And thanks going on with Sonny. What a hoochie mile.
Hoochie. Hoochie mama. So yeah, Raw. I mean, what do you think's the best match there on Raw, Buzz? I mean, out of all those matches.
Probably. I mean, I like Vader. Body down is smoking guns was all right, though. I like probably that match. It was all right, though. Nothing really spectacular.
I'll go with the tag title as well. Tag title.
Yeah.
Of course, then we move to Monday Nitro. This is their first two-hour episode. It's May 27th, yet again, same date. Two-hour episode where they start off with Tony Schiavone and Larry Zbyszko at commentating. And I'm just going to go ahead and put this out there, okay? This may get me killed. This may be the first hot take. But I'm just going to go and tell you, I like Tony Schiavone better than anybody on Raw currently at this time, and way better than Eric Bischoff.
Yeah. I don't mind Eric Bischoff. I know that's a hot take in itself, but I don't mind him.
I don't think he's terrible, but I just like Tony Schiavone. I've never really saw obviously things change. I mean, right now I would say Nitro's on top of Raw, and obviously that changes.
Yeah.
So, you know, just as right now, a quick shot, snapshot, May 27th, 1996, Tony Schiavone is better leadoff guy.
Charles, I think you mean Tony Schiavone. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows this.
Yeah,
Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say this, you know, obviously we're about to review the show, but this is the first two-hour minute, and I've watched a lot of good Nitros leading up until this show, and I thought this one was kind of a letdown.
Really?
You know, like, there was some good wrestling on it. There was some good wrestling on it, but there was, I mean, I guess it was about 2-3 weeks ago, and we had just
man, one good match after another. There was Iron Ice versus the Steiner Brothers. There was I know this sounds so weird saying all this. There was Jim Duggan versus Ming. I think that was the show that had the paper or that had the main event of Sting and Luger versus Giant and Flair. That was awesome. There was just a lot of like really good stuff before, and then like this, you know, like we'll kind of get to like there's some weird spots in this, but Power Nitro. He spent a lot of time in this show talking about the newly formed Cruiser with the champ Dean Malenko, which I'm really excited about. June 16th, I believe, will be the Great American Bash, and it'll be Dean Malenko versus Rey Mysterio for the Cruiserweight titles. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think they were so geared towards what was going to happen with Scott Hall, and they were trying their best not to look that way. And to some degree, they pulled that off, but you could tell it was really geared towards that, like that was going to be the main thing. And I'm sure in 1996 it certainly was, but you know, kind of what we're doing, you know, it kind of is kind of a put off. You can kind of figure out they're kind of focused on that, but
right.
Absolutely. I think even the Nitro before was better as far as matches were concerned. But they intro the show, and the first thing we get is an intro, a discussion, an interview, a promo with the Giant, Paul White, and he's talking about the match he has with the Shark coming up.
Perhaps I've missed something because I don't remember that at all.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead here. But anyways.
We picked up with Larry Zbysko and Tony Schiavone announcing hour number one and kind of reviewing things before the American males come out.
Yeah.
Marcus Alexander and Scotty Riggs, former tag champs, to take on the Nature Boy Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. And two of these guys were really awesome. Two of them were okay. And you could see who was leading the match the entire time, for sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, the Nate comes out, and he's, like, already in his craziness. Like, you know, through Nitro, through the next few years, he just gets crazier and crazier. But you could tell he was already, like, frothing. I don't know what he did to get fired up for a match, but man, does he come out the gate.
I think 96 and 97 Flair was probably the best Flair ever.
Of course, Arn comes out and he's wringing his wrist like crazy, which makes me just get ready to be enforced. So, of course, he's got Woman, and at this time, Miss Elizabeth on his arm, which is a running storyline of the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Flair and Savage in a heated feud. And now, with that being said, Macho Man is, I guess, on a hiatus. He's been so crazy, and we'll get to that. They're going to show a video package later on, but he's not even allowed in the building. So at the next pay-per-view, there's supposed to be a big tag team match between Flair and Anderson versus Mongo and Kevin Green, because Flair's been making eyes at Deborah McMichael for the last few weeks, and Mongo's had enough.
Taking Stone Cold Steve Austin. Anyway.
Indeed. So be mindful of that. Larry kept calling Kevin Green a loser and even said, Carolina has a football team now? Which, they do.
They in fact do. I've always begged the question, watching this match, I don't know if I've always begged the question, but I'm going to beg it now. Did Ric Flair ever wear his knee pads correctly?
Never.
Or have I just been wearing them wrong?
I don't know.
A few things to point out. Ric Flair had a VIP section near the ring with, like, food and champagne.
And the girls even brought champagne to the announcers, which Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
Tony Schiavone said this is the first time this has ever happened in our sport, which that is number one, the first reference now to our sport.
Yes.
That Tony Schiavone makes. Now, the male's got some offense in here. And Tony said, we may have a major upset on our hands. Thankfully, cooler heads prevail.
Yeah.
Arn wore these guys out, which he is great at. He, every time he was in the ring, he would just beat men. It was awesome.
Selling injuries, man.
Match. Oh, yeah. Flair got into a shoving match with Randy Anderson, which was also awesome.
I just missed Bagwell selling
injuries.
Bagwell
got a hot tag and ran wild on Flair. Anderson hits the DDT behind the ref's back, and Flair drapes his arm over for the victory.
By the way, a running count of Flair chops, there was only one.
One.
In this match.
That's shocking.
One Flair chop. We're going to try to keep a running tab of Flair chops on this podcast.
So next, Gene Okerlund comes in the ring for the first time of...
oh, man.
He wasn't in the ring. He was by the VIP section for the first time.
Yes.
I didn't realize how many times he was on the show, which I have no problem with because Gene Okerlund's awesome. But Oakland came out to interview Flair and Anderson. Two different, very different types of promos. Anderson comes out. He's very, you know, very cold and very calculating and telling Mongo and Green, you know, what's what. Telling them what's what. You know, they need to expect a fight with the champ, you know, and does what he wants when he wants. Flair, it's Flair's turn, and, of course, he starts singing Afternoon Delight. Because why not?
Oh, my gosh. Man. Phenomenal.
Kissing on Miss Elizabeth and saying that Deborah's been making eyes at him. And
spending Macho Man's money.
Yeah. Liz says that, you know, whatever the champ wants, the champ gets. Flair says, people have been calling me their sugar daddy, but with the Macho Man's money that we're spending, looks like Liz is my sugar mama. So,
maybe I am insane. And maybe it's time for you to find out how insane I am. Yeah. Right now, yeah.
So at this time, I believe woman was with Benoit. She was married to Chris Benoit. And they had heat with the Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan, because the woman had formerly been with him. So now Flair got her in his entourage. He's apparently having Afternoon Delight with Savage's wife. He's having Afternoon Delight with Mongo's wife. So hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your husbands. You're snatching no people up.
Immediately following this this interview, we have the workout montage of Mongo McMichael and Kevin Green, which would make Rocky III cry tears of depression. Wow.
Weird video.
I don't know that you could get more 90s than that. And then at the end, they're like, what you going to do? Like,
short shorts. You know, kind of Gary and Ace type of stuff. They're both pushing each other to lift more weights. Like, all righty. If this is supposed to be getting me hyped up for these guys, it did the exact opposite.
And then, like
next
I said, they came
up.
They came across with what you're going to do. I don't know if that was foreshadowing for the third member of the New World Order or what. But
they did Hogan. And Hogan hasn't been around for like 2 months. Thank goodness, which Nitro's been awesome in that time frame. But anyway.
And no one's shocked.
So next up we had Steve Dahl, who I don't know that if he ever wrestled on WCW again, versus the Mauler, a.k.a. one of the Beverly Brothers, a.k.a. Mike Enos was his real name, coming out with Colonel Parker. And I guess the story of this match was they did a whole bunch of fun. They were super boring. And then...
thank the Lord.
Came out. Thank the Lord.
You people, you know who I am. But you don't know why I'm here.
Are we going to get security here?
Where is Billionaire Ted? Where is the Nacho Man? That punk can't even get in the building. Me, I go wherever I want, whenever I want.
Listen, we need to call.
And where, oh, where is Scheme Gene? 'Cause I got a scoop for you. When that Ken doll lookalike, when that weatherman wannabe comes out here later tonight, I got a challenge for him, for Billionaire Ted, for the Nacho Man, and for anybody else in WCW. Hey, you want to go to war? You want a war? You're going to get one.
Well, how about that?
And there we go.
We are off to the races, everybody.
We're off
and
to the races.
And I love what Tony Schiavone said immediately after this. What about the match? Tony needed a finish between Steve Dahl and the Mauler. He needed a winner. He didn't worry about Razor Ramon coming in. He didn't worry about Vince sending his boys down to WCW. He's like, well, what about the Mauler? Steve Dahl.
Oh, man.
That Ken Doll lookalike.
I mean, Bischoff assumes correctly that he's talking about him when he says Ken Doll, but he could have been talking about Zbyszko, you know.
Yeah, don't sell Larry Z short. You know, the living legend. Come on now.
He's a good-looking guy.
All right, so we come back from commercial. We got Craig Pittman with Teddy Long versus my man, DDP. This match was just fun. It wasn't anything special, but DDP was just really good at selling his arm. Pittman kept trying to get that Code Red arm breaker on.
DDP is so underrated, man. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like, I'm ashamed of my 15-year-old self that wasn't into DDP more. Like, holy smokes. 35-year-old me loves DDP.
I'll tell you what, I was always into DDP.
He literally gives himself a high five.
You know what I thought about this match? What I thought was great about this match now, what I did think was funny was Larry's calling DDP the new American dream because he won Battle Bowl at Slamboree and he was broke and then he brought himself back out. By the way, this DDP was good, but he's like a year away from like being like upper mid-card DDP who was just awesome, who was wrestling Savage and all that. But he was still really great. One of the favorite spots that I've seen him do now twice is he'll fall under the floor. He'll find a bunch of like cable from the camera, and he'll get tangled up in them, and it's just awesome. Just little stuff like that that's awesome.
Yeah, you got to find things like that. Yeah, exactly, that nobody really thinks about. But what a showman. What a showman.
What a showman. So Teddy Long gets distracted, gets bumped off the apron. So Craig Pittman, who had been looking for a manager for a while, he was concerned. He's like, are you okay? Well, led DDP to say, hey, I'm going to give you the bang. Hits him with the diamond cutter, pins him 1, 2, 3, gets up, selling the arm. DDP goes to give himself the self high five, but screams in pain when he hits his arm, which was this is great. This guy's so awesome.
Yeah. And credit DDP. It's amazing move, the diamond cutter that can come out of nowhere. Like,
yeah,
awesome. Because that's going to be a big push in the next few years. You know, everybody, loves the moves that just come out of nowhere. Just you can hit it from anywhere in the ring. You know. Too bad DDP wasn't really big during the GIF era. He might have been the RKO GIF. So
we're about 2 years away. I don't know, we're about a year away from Savage DDP, which is a great feud. We're also about 2 years away from Raven DDP, which was really good as well. And it actually ends up in like a three-way dance at Uncensored 98, which is going to be amazing. Which anybody who wants to skip ahead and watch it, go for it. It was Raven versus DDP, Chris Benoit in a Raven's Rules triangle match. It was awesome.
And since you mentioned Macho Man Randy Savage, right after this match, we'll get a crazy Macho Man montage.
They had to show us how nuts he was. That's why he wasn't even on the show for the last couple weeks. They got to keep him out of the building for his own safety. Because he's been going crazy, dropping up.
Yeah.
Macho Man's awesome.
Trying to get in the building. It's crazy.
Gene's back.
What now?
Gene's back. Gene Okerlund. He's back. He's interviewing the Shark.
Okay. Yep.
Shark is mad because Jimmy Hart cost the match and Taskmaster. It's hard to say. Kicked him out of the Dungeon of Doom. So what happens when you get kicked out of the Dungeon of Doom? You want the Giant.
Yeah. I may be mistaken on this, but I think I remember in that interview, he accidentally, instead of calling him Kevin Sullivan, he called him Ed Sullivan. And I just remember thinking that's pretty funny. The Shark threatening Ed Sullivan. I don't know. Maybe I am. I'm an old man. I forget things. But for some reason I put, why is the Shark threatening Ed Sullivan? But anyway,
moving on. We get another video package. This one for Hulk Hogan, who's been gone for a little while. And we're told that he's been hobnobbing with celebs. So apparently he has been hanging out with George Foreman, Shaquille O'Neal. Dennis Rodman.
Black.
Oh, yeah. I noticed the same thing. I was like, wait a second. Kevin Green.
Okay.
And Sugar Ray Leonard.
Black.
Yep. And basically what this this video package was telling us was that Hulk Hogan was the best. He does charity work and hangs out with a bunch of celebrities. Okay. Whatever.
There you go. There you go.
Hour two of Monday Nitro. And now we got Bischoff and Heenan.
Thank you. The Brain Heenan showing up, taking over.
Brain was the
it.
Best. Brain was the best.
So awesome. So awesome.
So Bischoff says he's not going to dignify their interruption earlier. Other than the fact that he's talking about it right now. So
yeah.
I guess he's whatever.
Yeah. So unfortunately that's where my notes end. So you're gonna have to take over, Hoss.
All right. So next up we have the Shark versus the Giant, which I'm assuming this is the second hour is when Raw's first hour was starting. So to keep you glued to Nitro and not flip over to Raw, they said, how about we have the Giant face the Shark?
Hey guys, I've got a really, really fun quote. Are you ready?
Ready.
Not only did the Giant jump the Shark, but he chokeslammed the Shark.
All right, so The Shark is billed from Tsunami. You hear that, Don?
Paging Don Matteo. Paging Don Matteo. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so the Shark is billed from Tsunami. And, a whole bunch of what you'd expect in this match. Kind of slow, kind of boring. A couple of really big dudes who don't wrestle very well. Giant picked up Shark, though, like he was nothing, and body slammed him. That was kind of amazing. Jimmy Hart takes his life into his own hands and distracts the Shark. Giant choke slams him and pins him. And there you have it.
Before we move on from the Giant, I just want to go over that hilarious thing that happened between him and Ric Flair with the coffee.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Ric Flair hits the Giant with coffee that was meant for their opponent. And
so sorry.
He immediately runs back and gets a towel and brings it up and starts
wiping
the Giant's
eyes.
I have never seen
Ric Flair sprint like that before. Never.
Running. But the best part is he then gets a safe distance away, puts on the headset at the announce table, and basically tells the Giant that he better apologize to him. That the Giant better
apologize
to
Ric. Well, you missed the part because Flair comes in the ring and he's trying to apologize. He's on his knees. He's saying, please, please don't hurt me. The Giant puts his hand on his shoulder. Flair, in a moment of pure man passion, strikes the Giant's arm off of him, realizes what he's done, drops again to his knees, begs for forgiveness, and the Giant's not having any of it. So Ric Flair puts the headset on, tries to apologize, setting up a match for the next week. But anyway, we're running short on time, so we need to get back to this Nitro. So after the Giant pins the Shark, Big Bubba, of all people, comes down to the ring and decides, hey, I'm going to cut off half your hair. So not only has the Shark had to change his name to the Shark, and he went to LSU. This is a story you may not know, Travis. So the Shark went to LSU. So he had a big tiger tattoo on his arm. Well, then he gets the gimmick of the Shark. So he decided, well, I can't be the Shark and have a tiger tattoo. So he got that covered up with a Shark. And then a few weeks later, he's no longer the Shark. Anyway.
Look, this is really dumb.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So then next we have Lex Luger versus Max for the TV title.
Mm-hmm. That's all I got.
Yeah, Bischoff mentions that the loaded forearm that Luger's using was used to beat Yokozuna, which I don't know why he keeps mentioning other people's companies, but whatever. Luger beats Max in the Human Torture Rack. Luger apparently was being a big man in the company. He had the TV title. He was tag team champions. Heck, he was even getting DDP won the Battle Bowl, was supposed to get a world title match, and they were telling us here that, well, Oakland came out to interview Luger and said that Luger's going to be fighting the Giant at Great American Bash for the title. DDP was supposed to get the title shot, but was denied by the board of directors, and I'm not sure why. I wonder if we're missing out on that because of what, but
it's
anyway,
the trick is he went out of the ring. He went over the top rope, and his foot touched, but nobody saw it.
Oh, is that why they took away
He still won the Battle Bowl, but they took away his title shot. I'm pretty sure that's the reason why.
I missed that. Okay. Yeah. So they show clips of Luger getting thrown to the table by the Giant from a few weeks back, and so Luger tells Giant paybacks are a, quote, you know what.
Gotcha.
What is going on? So, Giant and Luger set for Great American Bash for the title. So that's going to be interesting. Next match, we have Hard Work Bobby Walker versus Brad Armstrong.
What are we doing?
Like, they're sitting here trying to convince you, don't watch Raw tonight. Watch 2 hours of Nitro. We got 2 hours. And they're like, you know what we need to do? Put out Bobby Walker and Scott Armstrong. A couple of cruiserweights is what they call them. It's like, no, these are not the guys who will be representing the cruiserweight division the next couple of years. So
Bischoff mentioned Scott Hall again, which I don't know why, if he said we're not going to dignify it. Hard work, apparently he studies film like preparing for a thesis, is what Bischoff tells me.
Seems a little over the top.
Bobby Walker has hard work written down the side of his tights, and nobody stopped to tell him that hard work is two words.
Mm.
So, anyway.
Mm.
Walker, I mean, it wasn't a bad match, but it wasn't just there. You know, Bobby Walker went from the top rope a couple of times, then finally jumps up there, slips, stands back up, hits the blockbuster, which ends up being Buff Bagwell's finisher, and pins Armstrong. So there you have it.
Mm.
Next up we have Lord Steven Regal, or as I like to call him, Lord Bill Regal, with Jeeves versus Das Wunderkind, Alex Wright. This is a fun match. Both very European style, you know. A lot of European uppercuts, a lot of Regal stretching people and just pounding on them. Alex Wright, you know, flying around. He dives over the top rope. Bischoff says that Regal wrestled in the tar pits of India, which, A, I don't think is true, and B, if it is, why would you wrestle in a tar pit? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Alex Wright dives over the top rope onto Regal, and then they immediately cut to commercial. So that was good. We get a promo for Glacier, who's going to be debuting. Blood runs cold, everybody. So Glacier's going on his way. Story of the match was Regal is awesome. Alex Wright was underrated, and Regal wins with a back bridge.
And then he goes nuts in a promo. Or an interview, excuse me.
Cuts the ring in and Regal calls him a miserable little toad. He gets angry and wants to fight everybody. He's tired of these people who are coming in trying to start wars. He said, listen, I want matches. I'll fight anybody. Which, boy, did they miss the boat on Regal. Both companies really did.
Oh, man. So underused.
So underused.
Moment of pure man passion.
Indeed.
So underused.
The main event time. We got Scott Steiner and Sting both wearing neon green. Apparently they didn't talk to each other backstage. Both wearing neon green. Scott Steiner at this time was not as huge as he was going to be, but he was still a really, really big man.
He was a big dude.
And Sting just keeps trying to knock him down. Steiner is being Steiner, throwing suplexes and, you know, just beating on the Sting. Sting goes for a tombstone, hits a tombstone pile driver of all things. They end up on the outside, and Luger decides he's going to throw Scott Steiner back in the ring, which Rick Steiner was none too thrilled about this. So he starts chasing Luger. He gets in the ring, and they start fighting. Scott Steiner gets involved, and the match gets thrown out, and it turns into a pure sixer. Sting's in there, both Steiners, Luger, they're all fighting, which I would pay to see these guys beat each other up for an hour every night. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Sting looks so good, man, compared to now.
Yeah.
Kind of sad.
He was still
kinda
in shape.
Sad, actually.
He was still in shape. It was fun. He was jumping around, yelling, screaming, doing his thing. Still had hair. Anyway, Scott Hall comes back out, and he tells Eric Bischoff, you got a big mouth. We're sick of it. Keeps saying we. And Eric's like, who's we? Who's we? He said, you tell billionaire Ted to get three of his best guys because we're taking over. There you have it. Raw.
It just so happens, Buzz. Me, you, and Don make three.
It's true.
They could have taken all three of us. We'd have fought them. We'd have represented WCW real well.
Billionaire Ted.
Billionaire Ted. How about it? How about it?
I like it.
There you have it, everybody.
Well, man, there's the first episode of the Hostile Takeover. I don't know what we're going to name the podcast, the offshoot podcast, but be looking for a poll. Maybe we'll do a Twitter poll. I don't know.
If anyone's got suggestions, we're open to them. So throw
those
out there.
Right now, I want a war.
I want a war. We're going to get it. Monday Night Wars. Follow us on Twitter, everybody, at Fuzz and Travis, at Fuzz with three Z's, facebook.com/Fuzz and Travis. We post a bunch of goofy stuff on there. Let'sbeassigned.com, and hey, yo.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.